Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come in Jesus' name. We quiet our hearts before You, Lord. To be still before the Lord. And to know that You are God. You're the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Father, we pray that You would manifest Yourself, Your glory. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that You would help us, Lord, to open our eyes. That it wouldn't be said of us, their eyes they have closed. Lord, grant us grace, mercy, the power of the Holy Spirit to draw men and women unto Yourself. Lord Jesus, thank You for each one that is here. We pray a blessing, the blessing of the Lord upon each one, and we thank You for each one, Lord. And Father, we do not ask in the name of Jesus that You would rebuke the devil away from us, from this place, Lord. Cover us in Your blood, Lord Jesus. Father, that all that is said and done here today may be to the praise, to the honor, and the magnifying of the Lord Jesus, who alone is worthy to be praised. Father, grant unto me, Your servant, utterance, Lord. Thank You, Father. We trust You for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Greetings in the name of Christ, the Lord. Today I want to share a message from a text in Luke, which I shared when I was in Fulton, South Dakota, a couple weeks back. But you know, the Lord is able to bring it out differently under different burdens and different circumstances. And so we trust the Lord today to speak to us by His Spirit from His Word. Open your Bibles to Luke 7, 36. Luke 7, 36. Maybe before we read this, we'll just give a little bit of background here. In Luke chapter 7, we have recorded three miracles. The first one is the healing of the centurion's servant by Jesus just speaking the word. The second miracle is where Jesus, in His travels, comes across a funeral procession of a widow's son. And Jesus' heart is moved with compassion toward this widow. And He stops the procession and He begins to speak to a dead body. And He speaks to this dead body and says, "I say unto thee, young man, arise." And the young man is raised up from death unto life. What a miracle. But there's a third miracle we're going to read about in our text. That is an even greater miracle. Let's read Luke 7, 36. "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears. And it wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said unto him, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. I want to thank you for allowing us this object lesson this morning with this pile of jackets and garments here. We're going to use this for a couple different illustrations today as we go through this account and this experience that Jesus had that day. You know, the greatest miracle of all is not the healing of the body, though that is a great miracle. When Jesus came on the scene and began to preach and to teach the gospel to the poor and began to heal the sick and to cast out devils and to raise the dead, these mighty works were manifest that He is God in the flesh walking among us. But you know, that person who was healed, one day he died. That young man that was raised from the dead, one day there was another funeral procession and he was in that place again and he died. The greatest miracle is not the raising of a body from the dead, but it's the raising of a man or a woman who is dead in trespasses and sin, and to be given new life in Christ Jesus, from life unto death, and from darkness unto light, from the old to the new. The transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the miracle of salvation. And as we consider this account here, Simon and his guests most likely were having their meal in the traditional cultural fashion. out in the open, perhaps in the courtyard, you know, enclosed courtyard, somewhat, perhaps, we don't know exactly. But people could perhaps wander in, maybe even, observe and sort of see, you know, and as the crowds were following Jesus and Simon invited him that day, it was very possible that it's quite different than our meal. One of the things there is that they would have reclined at the table. And that reclining at the table would have been sort of like a lying down perhaps on somewhat of a cushion or some sort of a prop where they were propped up and their feet were behind them. So as this narrative explains, this woman came in behind Jesus and she began to wash His feet with the tears as they were streaming down her face. But it's here in this setting that Jesus performed this great miracle of a sinner woman who was dead in trespasses and sins to find forgiveness and cleansing and restoring in Jesus Christ. So what's so great about this miracle? Well, it's because it meets the greatest need of humanity. The greatest need that people have today is not for healing. Though the Bible gives us an opportunity and a commandment that when you're sick, it's great, it's wonderful, it's appropriate, it's right and fitting that we should come and call for the elders and be anointed with oil. And it's right. Jesus said, "You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall be healed." So I don't want to downplay that. But you know, one of the greatest needs that people have today is not the need for a physical healing, but it's the need for forgiveness. It's the need for that troubled conscience and heart that is wrestling and bound in sin to find the Savior and to experience the forgiveness of sins and the renewing of the Holy Ghost and be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Many people are hurting, sad, and bound up in their sins. Might say it's the greatest miracle because it costs the greatest price. For Jesus' heart to be moved with compassion and to heal a sick man or raise a dead man. Yes, virtue went out of him. It cost him something. But to forgive sins, to be able that he could forgive the sins of this woman, it cost the life of Jesus on the cross. So we could say it's the greatest miracle, but because it cost the greatest price. Another reason we could say this is the greatest miracle is because it accomplishes the greatest results. Hallelujah. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was blind, but now I see. Oh, the amazing grace of God. The forgiveness of sins, a new life. You know, this miracle lasts forever. So that we shouldn't perish, but that we should have eternal life. Oh, praise God. Forgiveness, the greatest miracle. Justified, and as our brother Denny would say, just as if I never sinned. This sinner woman, with all her reputation of her sins known, open, throughout maybe many of the people that lived in that city, to be justified, forgiven, just as if I never sinned. Oh, the cleansing power of the blood to wash away every sin stain, every sin, and to make a person holy, clean, and justified. Why should we consider this account? There's also somewhat of a tragedy here, because here is Simon. reclining at the same table with Jesus. He's in the presence of the Lord. He's only a few feet away, perhaps, but he misses the opportunity for a miracle in his own life. This woman, contrite and weeping, she came up behind Jesus, the tears streaming down her face, onto the feet of Jesus, and she began to dry his feet with her hair. And then she gets out this alabaster box of ointment, and she breaks the bottle and anoints Jesus' feet. It's a picture of her giving all that she had. In another gospel where he talks about an alabaster box of ointment and a woman anointing Jesus' feet, and I'm not sure if that was the same woman, but there it tells us it was a very precious ointment of spikenard, very precious. And as I did a little study on that, it says there that it would have been a year's wages. So now you ladies, if you buy a perfume that costs a year's wages, how much would that be? It's a lot of money. But we don't have to try to figure out the exact dollar value, but we can say a year's wages of that alabaster box of ointment. And she comes to Jesus, and in repentance and in brokenness and in love for what Jesus has done for her, she anoints his feet with that precious ointment and she pours it all out upon him. Ah, she loved much. But you know, Simon, he was right there. He couldn't understand it. Didn't make sense to him. This woman? What's going on here? Jesus is allowing this woman to touch him? Why couldn't Simon understand what was happening? Well, I believe it's because Simon, there was a blindness upon his heart and upon his eyes. Jesus said to Simon, "Do you see this woman?" Well, I believe Simon saw her, but did he really see her? Did he really know her? Did he really know what was going on in her heart? I don't believe he did. Simon had three areas of blindness in his life that kept him from experiencing the miracle of God. What were these areas of blindness? I believe the first one was Simon did not really see himself. He didn't really see himself. He looked at this sinner woman, and he considered himself a Pharisee, a religious Pharisee, one who studied the Scriptures, one who attended the church services and all these things. And here's this sinful woman, and he was making a comparison. And yeah, this sinner woman. But you know, there was a blindness upon him. He didn't really see himself. It's hard for most of us to really see ourselves. Oh, to see ourselves as the Lord sees us. Maybe if you want a little insight into seeing ourselves, we should not only open our heart to the Lord and say, "Lord, search me and try me." Maybe the Lord has some other means of grace to help us see ourselves. Maybe it's my spouse. Maybe I should ask her. You know, it's my view of how I see myself. She has another view. She has another vantage point where she can see me. Maybe I should ask my spouse. Maybe I should ask my siblings, my brothers, my sisters. What do you see in me? Maybe I should ask my children. pretty scary, isn't it? Make myself vulnerable. What do you see in me? Maybe my fellow employees that I work with 5 days a week, maybe they'd have something to share with me that could be helpful for me to see myself. Maybe my neighbor, that one that just lives right next door or across the street. You know, it's so hard to really see myself because I have this vantage point from myself. But perhaps my friends or maybe even my enemies could speak something into my life of what they see about me that I'm blind to. I don't see it. I told this here before, but I'll tell it again. In my youth, I really wanted to serve God, and I really was trying to press in with the Lord. But there was some self in there that God wanted to put His finger on and deal with. And I was trying to live for God all out, you know, be holy. And one day I spoke up and criticized another young man's white belt to another one, and I said, you know, I think he's just proud of that thing. Don't see myself, do I? What about my car with that extra chrome I put on just last week? What about that, Aaron? So one night the Lord had a lesson for me. I sat in my car where all the buddies were to meet out here at Zimmerman Steel on that little barn hill before they had the new building across the road. And my buddies left without me. I couldn't believe it. They went without me. They were getting tired of my self-righteous attitudes, finding their faults, you know, pointing finger. So he said, let's get together a little earlier tonight and we won't be here when Aaron comes. That's what happened. So I didn't know what to do. I was by myself. I drove around a little bit and thought, well, what do I do? I don't know if I went home for a little while. I thought, well, I'll go back and wait for him. They'll come back at about this time, so I'll wait for him. So I parked my car right in amongst all the other cars, turned it off, turned all the lights off, and sat there. And sure enough, here soon cars come pulling in, you know, and summertime, windows down, and they back a car in just one slot over from where I was parked, and I overheard the conversation, and they were talking about me. And I wanted to shrink lower and lower in my seat and lower and lower. And finally, I was like, I hope so bad they don't see that I'm here. I hope they don't discover me. And sure enough, if they knew I was there, they acted like they didn't. And they, one by one, they got out of their cars and they took off and left me sitting there by myself. And I slunk home. Probably one of the greatest blessings that could have happened to me as a 19 self-righteous, holier-than-thou young guy. You know what? They had a vantage point to see me that I couldn't see. So hard to see ourselves, isn't it? Maybe there's someone in your life that if you would have the courage to ask them, what do you see in me? I really want to know. Because I want to become more like Jesus. Maybe as the Lord looks upon me who sees everything, He says, I have some counsel for you. I want you to buy from me gold
that's tried in the fire,
that you may be clothed with white raiment, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. I counsel thee, anoint your eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Because there's areas where you're blind. I know your works. I know what you're doing. I hear you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind and naked. You do not realize and understand that heart. Simon thought he saw. How many times am I like that? I look at a situation. I can glance over it. And I can evaluate it. And come to a conclusion. You know? Slotted here, slotted there. That's what Simon was doing. This woman, I mean, she is a notorious, notable sinner. I mean, if Jesus were a prophet, he'd know. Jesus knew very well. He knew this woman very well. But he also knew Simon very well. Simon thought, I'm not like that woman. I'm glad I'm not like that. I'm glad that I'm not like other people are. Jesus spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Can't you just see that echoing in Simon? Or even as this sinful woman, you know, I'm not like her. I'm not greedy, dishonest, like everybody else. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, he went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Why don't we see ourselves? What do you think? Maybe I don't really want to. Could that be part of the problem? I don't really want to see myself. I'd rather live with the facade. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'd rather live in denial and keep going through the motion of being a good Christian than to get honest with myself and really earnest before the Lord for God to show me my heart. Our hearts are deceitful. Who can know it? God says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, there's one who knows it. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to every man according as his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. The heart is exceedingly perverse and corrupt. Who can perceive and understand what's in the heart? Who can be acquainted with his own heart? You know, sometimes you might say something like, well, If I know my own heart, I am not guilty of the charge. No, it's not true what you're saying about me. I know my own heart. Do you really? God says, the heart is deceitful. Who can know it? Perhaps the reason Simon couldn't see is because he had a surface kind of religion. He was content with going to church and keeping up that reputation of a good Pharisee, paying his tithes, saying his prayers, but never really getting to the heart of the matter. Was he perhaps guilty of what Jesus cried out to the scribes and the Pharisees when he said, "Woe to you hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess"? And then listen to what he says. "Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." You know, the Lord knows me. He knows my thoughts, my uprisings, my downsittings, far better than anybody else. But oh, we would be wise to avail ourselves of the knowledge that someone else could share with us. Brother Ken, where are you? Someone else could share with us the truth in love. Say, "Dear brother, I love you. May I share something with you? Would you have room in your heart for me to share with you, my dear brother, my dear sister?" Well, how can we really know ourselves? You know, it's to hear what God has to say about us. And He speaks through His Word. His Word is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It can go right down in there and divide that which is spirit and that which is soul, that which is flesh, even down into the joints and the marrow. God's Word is able to do that by the power of the Holy Ghost. If we get honest before the Lord, and if we're willing to receive correction. Maybe you think, "Well, I'm above that person. I don't have to receive what they have to say." Oh, don't be so haughty and proud. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. Don't promote yourself. You know, Simon, he thought he's above this woman. Well, we have two examples in the Bible that we can look at, and there's many more, I'm sure, of people who really didn't know themselves. They didn't really know their own heart. They thought they did, but they really didn't. The first one is in 2 Kings 8:11, where Elijah came, or Ahazel came to Elijah concerning a matter that he wanted to share with the king about whether he's going to live or die. But what we really want to pull out of this without taking too much time is that Elisha, he was under the burden of the Lord, and he sat with Ahazel and he gazed upon him, it says, settled his countenance steadfastly until Ahazel was ashamed. And then the man of God, Elisha, began to weep before Ahazel. And Ahazel said, "Why are you weeping?" And he answered and said, "Because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel, Their strongholds wilt thou set on fire, and their young men wilt thou slay with the sword, and thou wilt dash their children, meaning he will kill them, and rip up their women with child. And Ahazael, he was like, what are you saying? This can't be me. He said, what? Is thy servant a dog that he should do such a great thing? And Elisha answered, the Lord has showed me that thou shalt be king over Syria. And then, in these days to come, you are going to do these things. But Ahazael, no, not I, not me. But if you read the scriptures, he did just that. It was fulfilled exactly as Elisha the prophet had said. He didn't know his own heart. Another one we want to look at is in the New Testament, and that is Peter. And if you want to turn there, you may. It's Mark 14, 27 to 31. And Peter, in this account, Jesus said to them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he, Peter, spake more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. Peter, the faithful follower of Jesus, the outspoken one, the bold one, one to believe the Lord in faith and step out on the water, to walk on the water, to go to Jesus? Peter, deny the Lord? How could this be? Surely not me. Lord, you have the wrong person. It's so hard for us to see our own heart. One thing I want to say here at this juncture is that let us not put any confidence in this flesh, in my willpower, in my grit. But let us have faith and confidence in our God. By Him, we are more than conquerors. But there's no good thing in this flesh. Second area that we see here is we don't really know each other. You know, Simon, he thought he knew. He thought he understood. And he condemned this woman, this sinner woman. He judged her. He looked on her past. He looked on the outside. And he judged her. And then Jesus told the story. Jesus said, I have something to say to you, Simon. And he said, Master, say on. And then he tells this story about two debtors. The one owed 50 and the other owed 500. This contrast is 10 times. The one owed 50 and the other 100. 500. I'm sorry. Thank you, Emmanuel. 50 and 500. You know, and he gave this example of a great, big, huge debt. Just like this big pile of coats here this morning. 500 pence. Great debt. I'm in debt to the master. But I have nothing to pay. I am bankrupt. There is no way I can pay. Now the other, we won't take time to count out all these coats and divide them 1 to 10, but just for the sake of illustration, we'll take a few over here. The other one, he owed 50. But the one who owed 50 also had nothing to pay. You know, it doesn't matter so much how much the debt is. If you have no means to pay, you are in trouble. You are in debt. And you know, they cast people into prison. They sold their family members till the debt should be paid. And these two debtors were bankrupt. They had no means to pay. And then the master, he did a marvelous thing. He frankly or freely, graciously forgave them both. Simon was listening. I think the Lord Jesus had his attention. And he said these words. He said, now, Simon, which of these two, this great big 500 pile or this 50 pile, which of the two do you think is going to love his master the most as he's forgiven him? Well, that's not a hard thing. Well, of course, I suppose the one who forgave the most. Jesus said, you have answered rightly. That you're right. But now let me tell you something, Simon. I came to your house because you desired me to come. I came. And when I came, you didn't give me any water to wash my feet. You didn't greet me with a kiss. What else is it? What did he say? You gave me no kiss. You did not anoint my head with oil. You know, these were all customary, culturally acceptable means of hospitality, right? I mean, I believe so. But Simon, he counted the Lord as just a very common man. Maybe when he desired him to come to his house, perhaps even there already, I don't know. Were all his motives pure? I don't know. But he did not honor and show respect to the Lord, even that he would to a guest that would come into a house who's an ordinary man. And here he is in the presence of Jesus. And he esteemed him lightly. But this woman, she, Brother Paul, she was all out. How did you say that one time? You know, just over, above board, over the top. Is that how you said it? You know, just over the top for Jesus. We met these people in Lancaster City one time and they were just over the top for Jesus. You know, that's how this woman was. I mean, she, her many sins were weighing on her heart and she had heard the Lord Jesus. If you look at the chronological order or the parallel of the gospel, you will see that Jesus cried those great words as he was preaching to the people in Matthew 11. When Jesus made an end to commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. And then this is how he ended his message as he was preaching and teaching in their cities. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, it's very probable, it's very possible that this woman heard that call of invitation to come to Jesus. Because right following how he ended his message, from there he goes to Simon's house for dinner. And this woman, who was carrying great burden of sin, she came to Jesus. Well, I see the time is slipping away quickly here, but what have we to say here? What is the lesson? How much sin does one have to commit to be a sinner and in debt to God? You think Jesus is talking primarily about the amount of sin? The big pile versus the little pile? I don't think that's the primary lesson. That's in there, but I don't believe that's the primary lesson. How much sin does one have to commit to be a sinner? Somebody tell me. How much? And to be in debt to God that you can't pay. How much? One sin. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This woman, I believe what God is saying here, is she realized her debt. Her sin was out front where everybody could see it. Simon's was maybe a bit more hidden. Maybe a bit more socially acceptable. Pride, criticism, hypocrisy, self-righteousness. But oh, a good Pharisee. Had the respect and the honor of the people. But God knew his sins. The real difference between the 50 and the 500 is not the difference between much sin or little sin. For we have all committed sin. The difference is the consciousness of sins. Oh, my sin. My sin. She saw her sin. Oh, God, I owe so much. My sins are not hidden from you. Simon said, I don't have as much. I don't have as much as she does. I mean, look at her pile of sin. I don't have as much as she does. Thereby, he just was condemning himself. He did not see himself. He didn't see his own debt. He didn't see how great was his sin. Did he not hear Jesus' messages? When Jesus cried out, he said to the Pharisees, "Except your righteousness," said to the people, "Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." You can't be saved by that. That self-righteousness, it won't save you. It is indeed true. The harlots shall go into the kingdom before the self-righteous. Because the harlots see their need. I have a great debt and pile of sin. But the self-righteous, oh, I pay my tithes. I go to church. I'm a respectable citizen. Well, maybe I sinned a little. Maybe I have a few. Doesn't see the magnitude and the blindness. I mean, it's immense. Oh, we need to see. We don't really know each other. And we look on the outward and judge by outward appearance. Well, the third area of blindness is Simon did not know the Lord. You know, really, imagine the Lord Jesus was there in his presence. And his heart was filled. His heart was just burning toward this sinner woman who came into my courtyard. And she's distracting us. I had some important questions I wanted to ask Jesus. And she's distracting us. She's making a nuisance of herself. Crying aloud like that. Her tears streaming down her face. and on Jesus' feet, and I mean, she's making a scene. Oh, if Simon could have saw the magnitude of his sin, tears would have came down his face too. And he would have said, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. The miracle was taking place right before his eyes. But he missed it because his heart was full of criticism and judgment and self-righteousness. He missed it. Well, what can I take home from this today? What is all this saying? You know, important thing in life to be able to see. To see myself as God sees me. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. You know, God wants us to see ourselves. And when we see ourselves, that's where revival starts. And the heavenly blessing begins to flow. But will we let Him do it? Will you let God show you who you are? Will I let God show me who I am? Or am I happy and content to just go on through life with a false opinion of myself? I don't have many sins. But oh, other people, look at their pile. God wants us to see. We want to use this pile in a positive illustration. This woman, who was forgiven much, she had a capacity to love much. Oh, glory to God. Let this pile of these jackets, piled up to 3 feet high, represent her much love and illustrate that much love. Oh, she had much love. Can you imagine her criticizing some other sinner people? I don't believe so. Oh, she's been forgiven much. I had so many sins, and He took them all away. And now I go on my way, rejoicing, singing, praising, blessing God, walking, leaping, dancing, because He set me free. Oh, her love was much, even as her sins were much. But you know, the person who thinks, I was always a good person, I never committed much sin. In fact, I'm not even sure if I committed this one. But I'm sure they did. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. And I never drank. I didn't party like those other young people did. Nah, I'm not guilty of that. I'm not like other men are. Not like other men are, you know. You know, when I was a real little child, I might have lied a little bit or something, or been a little deceitful, but that was when I was innocent. You know, since I came to better understanding, I haven't lied. You know, I don't think I'm guilty of that either. But he is, she is. And so there stands the naked sinner in his own self-righteous rags, which will not do. Oh, I beg of you, says the Lord Jesus, you say I am rich, I am increased with goods, and I have need of nothing, but you don't know that you're naked and blind. You can't see. We need to see ourselves. Oh, if Simon would have seen himself and would have cried out to the Lord that day, "Oh Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I have criticized this sinner woman, but I had a lot more light than she ever did. I grew up in a Christian home. She probably didn't. I went to the Sabbath to the synagogue every Sabbath and had teaching. I sinned against a lot more light than she did. Oh Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." But no. Oh, how terrible. How sad. Oh, if Simon could have seen his great debt. You know, he thought it was that sinner woman who had the great debt. Jesus gave that illustration so he could see his great debt. But Simon missed it. He missed it. Oh, if he could have seen it. "I have need to be forgiven. I have sinned." And then he would have turned to that sinner woman and said, "Forgive me. I was ready to throw you out of my house. I didn't like you being in here. You made me uncomfortable. But oh, now, the great reconciler, Jesus Christ, is at work. And if Simon would have repented of his sins, they would have been brother and sister in Christ and they would have had communion and fellowship." Right? It's amazing how the gospel bridges the gap from the vilest offender who truly believes and to the most self-righteous hypocrite who truly sees and repents. "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord." Simon, a few feet away from a miracle, and he missed it. In the very presence of Christ, hearing the words of Jesus, "Your sins are forgiven." Ah, what a balm that must have been to her soul. My sins are... He said it. "My sins are forgiven." Simon heard all that. He saw it all take place. But he missed it. You know, I wouldn't want anyone here today to be so close to a miracle of the transforming power of God, of being born again and cleansed from sin and hear the words of Jesus, "Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace." You know, I wouldn't want anyone here today to miss it. Maybe you never saw yourself a sinner. There's really nothing on my pile. In fact, I don't even have a pile. My life is pretty good. I'm not bad like other people, like those people over there. Never really saw your bankruptcy before God. Never been born again. Never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Well, today's your opportunity. Today's the day of salvation. Today, if you hear His voice calling you and the Holy Spirit convicting you, it's the Holy Spirit that convinces us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And it's the goodness of God. Oh, I love this verse. It's the goodness of God that leadeth us to repentance. It's not a hard message. It's a loving message of the goodness of God. I had so many sins and He took them all away. You know, God wants to do that for you. Just admit it. Just get honest. Maybe you've been fighting conviction, struggling, wrestling, hiding, putting on that front. Come to church Sunday morning and paste on that smile. And people ask me how I'm doing. They just say, "Oh, I'm doing fine." Maybe you're trying harder to be good.
But oh, it's so hard. Keep sinning. Or maybe try to excuse it away. It's not really sin. There are just some faults. Or there are just some struggles that I have. Wouldn't you like to hear Jesus say, "Your sins are forgiven you. Go in peace." You know, He'll say that to you if you surrender your sinful heart to Jesus. Faith and repentance. And you know, it's not hard. Not hard. How shall this take place? Well, the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, "Who shall ascend into heaven to bring Christ down?" I mean, this is complicated. This is difficult. This is hard. How shall we do this? Who's going to go up to heaven and bring Christ down? I mean, how can I ever get saved? It's not hard. It's not difficult at all. Or who shall ascend into the deep to bring Christ from the dead? No. It's finished on Calvary's cross, brother, sister, my friend, my sinner friend here today. It's finished. This is what the Word of God says. The Word of faith. The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. Listen carefully. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." Yeah, but that's for that person. I can believe that for somebody else. Now wait a minute. For there's no difference. There's no difference between the Jew who realizes his self-righteous rags won't do and the Gentile, Greek, sinner, who never had a Christian upbringing, never had a Christian home, never went to church. There's no difference. How can this be? It's because the Lord Jesus Christ died for me and for all. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Glory, hallelujah, this gospel is so simple. What did Jesus say concerning the sinner woman? Well, it's because you wept long and hard. I think maybe you're sincere enough, I can forgive you. He didn't say that. The record of it that He gave her was, "Thy faith has saved thee." You know, today you can put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. Because He died on the cross for all your sins, as varied in color as they may be, as different as they may be, as unique as they may be, as ugly as they may be, as wicked as they may be. And you say, "Whoa, if I'd ever tell anybody what happened there, they would..." No, God knows. And that's why Jesus died, to save sinners. Today is the day of salvation. And I invite you to come today, to come to Jesus. This is your hour. I don't know if God's going to give you another chance. I don't know. He may well give you more opportunities. But the Bible says that today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Because you don't know what's on the morrow. Today, sinner friend, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. But come to Jesus. We're going to have an open altar here if you want to come to bring your pile of sins. And to get honest before God and repent of your sins, and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for sinners and who wants to save you and cleanse you and wash you and hear, you can hear Him say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee. Go in peace." Aren't you tired of the turmoil and the wrestling and the putting it off and the wanderings? Today's your day. I'm going to try to sing this song, and if you know it, you can just softly help me and sing along. And while we're singing, the altar is open to come to Jesus. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost our way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving Your own, here in our weakness You find us falling before Your throne. Oh, we're falling before Your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Is your heart hungering for Jesus? Come unto Him. He will in no wise cast you out if you come to Him. Today is the day of salvation. Is God speaking to your heart? If you hear His voice, you sense the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Oh, why not be saved today? Why not settle it today? Today, Jesus is standing with arms outstretched to welcome the sinner to come, the weary, the laboring, heavy laden to come. He is here. Don't miss the miracle. Jesus is here.
Come as we sing this next song.
He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless His name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear Him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch Him. You will never be the same.
Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your love and Your grace, for Your forgiveness and cleansing and washing. Yes, her sins were many, but hallelujah, they are forgiven. Oh God, today, don't let anyone go away from here unsaved and miss Jesus, the greatest miracle and salvation. Bless those who have responded. Minister Your abundant grace and mercies and love to every soul, to every heart. Lord Jesus, You're the healer. You know us and You don't condemn us when we come and say, I have sinned. Oh, thank You, Jesus, that You don't condemn us or cast us out. But You receive the sinner. Oh God, whatever the needs are that are being cried out at Your throne of grace today. Oh, meet those needs superabundantly, Lord, into a fullness and an abundance of eternal life and grace and blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll turn the time over to you, Brother Emmanuel.
I remember as I was seeking the Lord before I was saved, this brother was very influential in leading us to Christ, affecting our lives. He was telling us the story of how he met the Lord. He had told us it happened out in the barn, out there by the silo. And he even took me out there in the silo and told me, right here is where it happened. There was such a deep longing in my heart. I went to that same spot and I stood there a little bit and I was just so longed. You know, either to have been there, to have seen the miracle happen, or longing for the miracle to happen in me. But I wasn't there when it happened, so I didn't see it. Think of those people there when that man was left down through the roof in front of Jesus, and he was healed, and he actually got up and walked away. And the people who were there could give a testimony. I saw it. I was there when that miracle happened. I saw it happen. But there's many who are missing the miracle today. You might never have seen a miracle, but maybe you want to. Maybe you would just long to see that miracle. And we all kind of like to see miracles happen. But I can say, I was there when the miracle happened in my heart. I know where that happened yet. Are you missing the miracle of life? This is the greatest miracle ever, is to be changed. From a great pile of sins to righteousness.
Amen.
But maybe you don't want to see a miracle. Maybe you have no desire to see a miracle. I still like to see miracles. Amen. Thank you, Brother Aaron, for preaching the word to us. Several things that came to my mind. I wrote this down. Few have the courage to ask someone to say it the way it really is. Few people have the courage to go to someone, a brother or a sister, and say to them, "Would you say it to me just the way it is? Would you tell me who I really am? Would you tell me what you really see in my life?" Few people have the courage to go to someone. Someone close to them, someone who knows them, and someone who will say it the way it really is. Did you ever do that? That's pretty scary. Especially if you go to a brother or sister that you know will say it straight, just say it the way it is, and be truthful. It's nice when you show some love, but if it's just truth, it hurts. But really, that's what needs to happen. For someone to say it just the way it is to my face, that really needs to happen to us. All right, I think we'll just open up briefly here. Is anyone that has a pressing testimony you feel led by God that you should give a testimony here this morning? Is there anyone here? I see one back here. Go ahead.
Yes, I just want to thank you, Brother Aaron, for sharing. I was just so impressed in my heart this morning when I know it's not really a fresh truth, but that if I don't see my need, God can't bless me. Because if He does give me a blessing, I'll think it's because of my goodness. And so I just really want to walk in God's light, and I want to see things the way they are so that I can receive God's blessing.
Thank you, sister.
Sweet.
I think there's another hand up front here.
I would like to say thank you for the devotional this morning. And I definitely agree that love with the truth works. We've had different mentors over the years, and the one that worked the best was one that said the truth as it was. He didn't mince any words, but we knew he loved us. We knew he cared about us, and so it worked. We changed because what he was saying had weight because there was love behind it. And I was just thinking, I think the first step is to pray and ask God for that love. And if we really have true love, we will speak the truth because they go together. So just praise God for the message.
Thank you, sister. Also, I appreciate Aaron's quote there about this sinner woman who was forgiven much. Versus the Pharisee. I tried to imagine this sinner woman having a critical attitude towards others after this experience. There's nothing there. There's just none there. And she did experience the Lord. She experienced that miracle working power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And beautiful.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.